Several years ago, and I know this is going to date me a little bit, and many of you won't understand what I'm talking about, but there was a popular song out that was sung by a group called the Five Man Electrical Band. The name of the song was Signs. And the chorus of this song, the words of the chorus of the song went like this. Signs, signs, everywhere are signs, blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the signs? Sadly today, in religion's an interesting thing in our day and age. And I'm not just talking Christianity, I'm talking religion in general. Because what happens in religion, and really has happened since the beginning of time, is religion tends to evolve from being about God to being about humanity, or being about humankind. And it sadly happened in Christianity when Christianity was born, and in the early years when Paul went around teaching and setting up churches and then writing to the believers that he left behind. And we're going to find this out in the book of Colossians. And sadly, it is very much alive today in our day and age in all religions, and especially in Christianity. But one of the things we have to constantly remember, and that's one of the reasons we constantly have to go back to God's Word in the Bible, is that Christianity is not about humanity. It's not about you and I, it's about God. And it's about faith in what Jesus Christ did for us. Because so many religions are based on the works of people and what we do, rather than what God has done. We constantly have to remind ourselves, God is in control. It's all about what God has done in Jesus Christ, and it's not about me or anything that I do or ever will do or have already done. Paul talks about this in his letter to the Colossians. In the last few weeks, we've been talking about the different appetizers of religion. It was those things that were very appetizing and seemed so pleasing to the sinful nature of humanity. It seemed very tasteful to be engaged in early Christianity, and there were those who were infiltrating the churches, trying to tell those early Christians in those new churches that you had to do certain things in a certain way. First of all, we talked about the philosophers from Greece that said you had to know certain things in your mind. There were also those who were trying to convince them to be legalistic, saying that it's important what you do. Then there were the mystics that came from the Far East that came in, and the mystical teachings that were trying to say that what's important is what you have seen, that you had special spiritual insight, and that you worshiped angels who brought you this special insight. And now what Paul continues to say here in his letter is that it's not about what one doesn't do. Very interesting letter that Paul writes to the Colossians. As you start breaking it down, this becomes very clear to us what Paul is saying. It's not about what you know intellectually. It's not about what you do legalistically. It's not about what you've seen mystically. And it's not about what you don't do physically. And this is what I want to talk about this morning. It's called asceticism. The appetizer of asceticism. Now we say, what is asceticism? It's self-denial. Asceticism is self-denial. When we think about this, first of all, we think about the Pharisees. In that day and age, there were the Pharisees who were the ones who were so, quote-unquote, religious. They observed the Sabbath laws. They observed the personal habits of eating and drinking only what was acceptable according to the rules and the regulations. There were those Pharisees who would walk around with their heads down to the ground, looking at the ground, so that they were not tempted by any of the lust of the eyes and the things around them. And what did they do? They'd run into the walls, they'd run into the pillars in the temple and everything, because they were trying to be so pious and engaged in not doing things that they were actually hurting themselves. And you see, rules and regulations are really based more on what we are not allowed to do. When you read rules and regulations, they'll tell you, do not do this, do not do this, do not do this. You must do things a certain way because you're not allowed to do them a different way. In Christianity, we call certain things that we are not engaged in or are engaged in acts of piety. Or we might call them discipline. And here's where a lot of times we get off track. We start thinking that these acts of piety or these things of discipline that we're supposed to do every day in our lives are what make us more pious. But all they do is make us more religious. And that's important that we understand what that means. Here in these scriptures this morning, Paul is talking about this. These acts of piety, these acts of discipline that so many had become engaged in, or I should say actually stayed away from or did not do, because there were those who would come into the church and said, no, no, the rules and regulations say you can't do these things, you can't do these things, you can't eat certain meats, you can't drink certain things, you only can do things on certain days, you can't do things on the Sabbath. The specific acts are not really mentioned here, but it's clear they don't have any value to the life of a Christian. There's rules and regulations in sports. There's rules and regulations in hunting. There's rules and regulations in agriculture. There's rules and regulations in what we eat. You eat a lot of fat, you're asking for trouble. You should not eat the fat because you're going to have trouble in the future, is what health experts will tell us. There are regulations in driving. Don't drive here. Don't drive here. Don't go over here. This is a one-way street. There are regulations in school. There are regulations at work and regulations and rules in religion. Now, as Paul talks about this specific point about the appetizer of asceticism, we have to remember this comes in the context of Paul saying that in Christ all the fullness of God has been given to us through Christ. Now I want to ask you, if the fullness of God has been given to you in Jesus Christ, theologically and biblically, doesn't that teach us and tell us that if we have the fullness of God, we have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside us? And the answer is yes. If we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside us, the Holy Spirit is controlling us and guiding us and teaching us and making sure we are doing and not doing what we are supposed to be doing. And what we're supposed to be doing according to God's will. So we have to understand that Paul is saying this, that in Christ the fullness of God has been given to us. So he says earlier, it's not what you know, it's not what you do, it's not what you've seen by special revelation. And now he's saying it's not what you don't do. He says the fullness of God through Christ comes because of who you know. And that's Christ. Because of what he has done. And what's he done? Paul said it earlier. He's made us alive. He's made us alive. Therefore, he says rather than worshiping the angels, we should be worshiping him. And now he says we should not be living by the old rules or the old laws and regulations. Let's see what he says here. He's talking to the Christians in Colossae when he writes this. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? He's questioning them and challenging them, reminding them that they died with Christ. He says, since you died with Christ, why are you living like your old self? You see, when we die with Christ, the old is gone, the Bible tells us. The new has come. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. We're no longer that old person anymore. We are a new person. And what he means by dying with Christ is that our old self is gone. It's dead, it's buried, it's gone. Therefore, he's saying, why are you, to these Christians, why are you still living like your old self? According to the basic principles of this world, as though you still belong to this world and you submit to its rules, he's saying, we're new creations. We don't submit to these man-made rules and regulations in religion anymore because we don't belong to it. We're spiritual now. Okay, he refers to some of those. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Remember there were the rules, the Pharisaic rules, regulations. We're not supposed to handle certain things. We're not supposed to eat certain things. We're not supposed to even touch certain things. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? The man was in the ditch, needed help, and all the people passed by. The religious people passed by because they weren't allowed to touch. The rules and regulations say they couldn't touch. The religious leaders were appalled when Jesus went up to the leprous man and healed him of his leprosy and touched him or spent time with him because the Jews were not allowed to be around the Gentiles. They had all these rules and regulations, thousands of them, and now they were trying to push them back on to the Christians and say, you still have to follow all these rules and regulations. And Paul's saying, no, you don't. You've died with Christ. That old self is dead, so you shouldn't be acting like the old self. Because now you're free in Christ. He said all these rules and regulations are destined to perish with use because they're based on human commands and teachings. They're based on human commands and teachings, not on God's commands and teachings. We think back in Isaiah. When the prophet Isaiah spoke to Judah concerning their sinfulness, it tells us the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. Therefore, once more I'll astound these people with wonder upon wonder. Wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, who sees us? Who will know? You turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be like clay. Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, he did not make me? Can the pot say of the potter, he knows nothing? This was the false religion that the people of Judah had become engaged in, that the prophets were sent to tell them, you need to turn from those old ways and turn back to God. And Paul's saying here now that the fullness of Christ comes not through those old rules and regulations, not through religion, because all of those rules and regulations perish. He says such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom. They appear to be the good thing, the right thing to do, because they appear with their self-imposed worship. In other words, it's worship that I have come up with. And their false humility, their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Now let's talk about this a little bit. Because what had happened, and what happens so many times, is people think it's all about these rules and regulations. It's all about religion, and it's not. Paul says, it seems right, but it lacks value. It's worthless, these rules and regulations, because they don't have any value, any worth in stopping the sensual indulgences, the indulgences or the temptations to satisfy a desire in our fleshly bodies. And that's what happens, isn't it? We have these desires and these temptations that we want to satisfy. Following rules and regulations do not satisfy them. They're powerless to do that. In fact, what they do, they condemn us because we're bound to break them. Have you ever been around somebody who says, well, we go to such and such church and we don't allow dancing. We don't allow playing cards. Oh, our women are only allowed to wear skirts and they have to be so long. Have you ever been around somebody like that? Oh, we don't drink wine because we're religious. That's true. They do these things because they're religious. And what Paul is saying is, it's not about being religious. It's not about asceticism. It's not about doing things or abstaining from things. And these things are not bad in themselves. When you look at them biblically in a godly way, Jesus said to the Pharisees, when he called hypocrites in Matthew chapter 15. He said, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he said, these people honor me with their lips and their hearts are far from me. Their worship is in vain. Their teachings are rules taught by men." He said, "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth, they come from the heart and they make a man, and these make a man unclean. Because out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what makes a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." In other words, Jesus was saying, "You're hypocrites. This isn't what it's about. It's not about religious acts and works. It's not about that we don't play cards, that we don't dance, that we don't drink wine." Paul told the Corinthians that all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. He said to Timothy, "A little wine's good for the stomach." You see, what it is about, it's about having the proper mindset and our hearts right with God. All things are lawful to us as Christians, but they're not beneficial. And when we are truly indwelled by the Holy Spirit will guard our hearts and our minds to do the right things. We'll know with assurance that we have salvation in Jesus. Christianity is not a religion of rules and regulations. Christianity is a relationship of propitiation. Well, that's a big word. What does that mean? It means we have a relationship with the God who provided a payment for our sins. That's what Christianity is. It's not about rules and regulations. And so many times, churches and people get so wound up in whether we play cards, whether we dance, whether we drink wine, what we wear, whether we go to the right church or not. You know, usually within a few minutes of meeting a religious person, they'll tell you where they go to church, they'll tell you all about the good that they do, and they'll tell you all about the forbidden things that they don't do. Within a few minutes of meeting a new person. But when you meet someone truly having Christ in their hearts, within a few minutes they'll tell you about Jesus. And they'll tell you about what Jesus has done for them. You see the difference? There's a big difference in it. There's a big difference in Christianity and the religions that involve asceticism. That you don't eat this thing. You don't do this. You don't do that. Now there's a fine line that we can go over. Is it okay to play cards? The Bible doesn't forbid it. But there's a fine line when the cards are laid down and the clothes start coming off in strip poker that it's not acceptable, right? But the Holy Spirit tells you it's not right when it comes to that point. Is dancing all right? You bet it is. David danced. He danced, worshiped the Lord in dancing. But again, can you handle it? Can you handle watching the dancer, the dancers, and the way that they dress? Some can, some can't. Where do our minds go? You see what I'm saying? These things are not unlawful, but sometimes they're not profitable. And with Christianity and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit reveals when those times are right and when they're wrong. God tells us that. And that's what he's trying to tell them here. It's not about what one doesn't do. It's about what they believe in Jesus. He goes on in chapter 3, which I'm not going to elaborate much on today, by saying, since then you have been raised with Christ. First he said you died with Christ, now he says you've been raised with Christ. The old self died and no longer exists, but the new self has been raised and reborn again with Christ. He said, since you are this new creation, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to set our hearts on things above where God is seated and set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. How do we fight those battles? How do we know? We constantly focus on God, His divine will. Is it okay that I'm in this situation? Can I deal with these things? For some people they say no. For others they say yes, I can deal with this. But it's not about the rules and regulations that you don't do this, you don't do that. Can't you read the signs? It's not about that. It's about our faith in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit inside us. That we died with Christ so we no longer are living according to the rules and regulations of our old self in this world. We're living according to a new power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. Those old rules and regulations lack any value in restraining us from satisfying or indulging in our fleshly desires. But only Christ and the Holy Spirit gives us that strength and that power. It's very interesting, the things that are out there today in our world on the menu of religion. There are those who tell you you have to know certain things. You have to be at a certain point of intelligence. There are those who tell you you have to be legalistic. You have to really do things a certain way. There are those who tell you you have to have special gifts and special insight. And then there are those who tell you, you can't do this. You can't do that. You can't play cards. You can't dance. You can't drink wine. You see what I'm saying? We say, no, I'm sorry, it's not about that. It's about Jesus Christ. Because in Him, the fullness of God lives and dwells. And through Him, the fullness of God lives and dwells in us. And do you really think that the Holy Spirit is going to let us down through those things and allow us to make bad choices? If we truly know God's Word and His will, and the answer is no. He's not going to let us down. When you choose, when the time comes, and these things seem appetizing or sound appetizing, Paul says, see to it that no one takes you captive through these hollow and deceptive philosophies that depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world. That's what it's all about today. We need to be mindful of God's will and mindful of Christ, knowing that our fullness is in Christ Jesus. Not in what we know, not in what we do, not in what we have seen, and not in what we eat, drink, or don't do. Let's pray.